Yes, well, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone. Yes. It's been such, going through our prayer journey for the last 6 weeks has been so amazing. And as I finished it up yesterday, that was kind of when I finished it up, not sure what others' schedule looked like, but this was so great. This note that was written for us, I said, I think I'm going to start this thing all over again and do it again, because I've only begun to plumb the depths of all this. But let me just read this paragraph to you again. If you finished up yesterday or already finished, or Bowie says, he asked the question, what percentage of God's love for you can you receive? He says, just how much of God's love for you do you receive in any given day? Perhaps not much, maybe very little. Don't be discouraged. God's love is so vast that there's no way you could possibly receive it all. Try to put a percentage on how much of God's love you're able to take in. It is certainly less than 0.01%, which is pretty much the maximum any person could safely receive. Any more and your head would explode. Your body and spirit couldn't handle that much love. So aim for a little less. It really only takes a little. And don't worry about the other 99.99%. You can't handle it anyway. God delights so much in whatever amount you do absorb. Hooray for the small things that God rejoices in. And so we've been looking and focusing in on receiving God's love for us in these past 6 weeks with that journey. And I just realized, yeah, that's right. I've probably only begun to think about and plumb the depths of everything God has for us and for me. So as I've been working on my way through this up until this morning, I just thought, what do we know of Easter, or what could we possibly hear of Resurrection Sunday that we haven't heard hundreds of times before? And then I thought, well, we're probably all like little children, and you read them a story, and what do? They say, again. And I remember there was one story or one book or something out that parents were so tired of, something about a purple dinosaur, and they said, we don't ever want to ever hear that name ever again, because apparently they'd read it so many times. But this is one story that I don't think we ever tire of. And so I'm looking at it this morning and thinking of it as the grandest grand opening. So let me read this paragraph again that you may have already read. Since its invasion of Eden's tranquility, sin has been pandemic among God's sons and daughters. The tragic expulsion from the garden, the separations, the warnings, the reminders of God's holiness in the system of sacrifices, the law, the purifying through exiles, foreign domination, that was the known history of the people of Israel. God had come to be seen as unapproachable by the common man, jealously punitive, eternally displeased, demanding absolute submission. Then came Jesus, talking about making all things new, talking of love, talking of relationship, friendship, even with God, open to everyone. His resurrection, celebrated worldwide today, was the most explosive, surprising storyline twist, greater than any mystery novelist could ever have conceived. No one saw that coming. But well beyond the extreme events of the week just past, the resulting seismic shift, this greatest grand opening, staggers imaginations yet today. And I think as we think of it, as we think of this receiving God's love, it's still overwhelming. And as our author here, Dale Gish, has reminded us, we probably only can receive about 0.01% of all God's love without disastrous effect. And so I want us to look at some passages this morning, because the theme that I'm looking at is opening. And so in John's opening chapter, the prologue, the first 18 verses I'd like to read for us, and I'll read out of the Passion Translation. John 1, In the very beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was God, was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. Life came into being because of him. For his life is light for all humanity. And this living expression is the light that bursts through gloom, the light that darkness could not diminish. Then suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John, for he came to be a witness, to point the way to the light of life and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light, for the light of truth was about to come into the world and shine upon everyone. He entered into the very world he created, yet the world was unaware. He came to the very people he created, to those who should have recognized him, but they did not receive him. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given authority to become the children of God. He was not born by the joining of human parents or from natural means or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. John taught the truth about him when he announced to the people, "He's the one. Set your hearts on him. I told you he would come after me, even though he ranks far above me. For he existed before I was even born. And now out of his fullness, we are fulfilled. And from him, we received grace heaped upon grace. Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor except the uniquely beloved Son who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. Now he has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is." Such amazing words. This opening section of John's gospel was and is probably one of the most powerful scriptures that we could read concerning who Jesus is and what he's come to do. And so these first 18 verses, I'm looking at them and I'm calling this the opening secret. It's the opening. So this was always God's plan to restore us to relationship, to restore us to intimacy and friendship. And so when Jesus came as the light of the world, John says, you know, he was shining light on everyone, but his own people didn't even receive the light. They moved away from it. They chose not to accept the light. And yet, so here was this opening secret. There was 400 years after the last book of the Old Testament was written. And then there's 400 years where there's a big gap, where there's nothing new coming from God, no intervention, no more prophets. And Jesus was the opening up of the next chapter in the fullness of time, scripture says elsewhere. And so Jesus came as the opening secret. Nobody really knew who he was and all that he came to do when he came. They didn't even recognize that he was divinity as when he first came. And so here's God doing what God does best, shocking us by his way of getting things done, not the way we would have done it. I mean, you know, we would definitely have done, we've talked about this before, but if we were to do this, we would not have done this as a secret. We would have had all the pomp and circumstance and the pageantry and the red carpet and all the rest. God did the absolute opposite. Jesus was born in, you know, in obscurity, in darkness, alone, not even in a place where babies are normally born, to people that nobody knew or even cared to know. And so this secret, he He snuck Jesus in. Here's this opening up of the kingdom. And God chose to begin the work slowly. And so the image has often been given of yeast that's put in dough. You know, yeast doesn't look like much. And, you know, watching my mother make bread over and over and over again for many years, you know, it didn't look like it was doing anything. But you leave that batch of dough for a while, and it really just puffed way up. And so that's what God was doing with Jesus. He slipped it in where in a way that people didn't recognize. And then Jesus began to do his work. And so this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter season, is all about opening. And so it begins quietly, secretly, in the darkness, in the still of night. And then if we move on to John chapter 10, still in the Gospel of John, but these words in chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. And so John 10, starting in verse 7, Jesus went over it again with his disciples, of course. "I speak to you eternal truth. I am the gate for the flock. All those who broke in before me are thieves who came to steal, but the sheep never listened to them. I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." So Passion Translation translates it, "I am the gate and the gateway." But in other passages, it says, "He's the door. I am the door to the sheepfold." And so Jesus says, "I'm here and I'm watching. I'm," in other places he'll talk about, "I'm the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep, and the sheep hear my voice." And so my blank and number two is the guarded opening. He guards the gate. He watches for the one who is not a shepherd, the one who comes to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. And he said, that's what they've always done before, but I've come with a different agenda. I'm coming not to just give life, but life that is so abundant that it overflows. And so here's this, he comes in as a secret, this opening secret. Then he's also the guarding secret. He wants to watch over. He's careful, and he wants to build life in the sheep. And of course, all we like sheep, of course, we are the sheep. And so he watches over us, he guards us, and he wants to make sure that all of us within the sheepfold are protected and safe from the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so as we make our way through these verses here in John, we're seeing God had a plan that he was working the entire time. People didn't get it. People didn't understand. Jesus would tell parables, trying to explain the Father's glory, the Father's purpose, the Father's plan. But even the disciples who were closest to him always would have to come back and say, "Could you explain that story to us?" Like, you know, and then they'd say, "Well, why do you always talk in parables? Why is it always so difficult for us to get it?" And, you know, and actually it's their slowness and mine especially as well, you know, of understanding why God is doing it the way he's doing. What is the purpose of all that he's doing? And as we're reminded in this, why we can't even receive more than maybe 0.01% of God's love, because we're just not able. And so God knows these things, and he's cautious about sharing his love for us because he doesn't want us destroyed by giving us too much. If you move over in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, he's explaining here, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too." And so this verse, when Jesus, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, he now is, the blank number three is, he is the opening, capital O, introduced. He's introducing himself. I am the way. I am the door. I am the entrance way. This is how you get into the kingdom. He says, no one even gets close to the Father unless they come through me, because I'm the door. And if you've ever had issues with being locked out of somewhere, you know how important it is to get a door that will open. And so Jesus here is introducing himself as the opening. He's the opening. He's introducing himself. Not that they all get it. It's going to take some doing before people really understand everything that Jesus is doing. But as we look at this, Jesus comes secretly. And then he says, but I'm also protecting as I move about. I am watching and I am making protection. And, if you stop and think about it, how many times has God protected us this week? How many things has God done to protect us? Even on our way to the sunrise service this morning, going down this Colonial Parkway in the dark, there we saw three deer right on the side of the road. And, so we were protected. And of course, he cares for the deer as well. So he's protecting them and making sure they weren't in our path. And then he introduces himself. He says, what an incredible statement. I am the way. I am the way to the Father. And not just a way among many. I am the way, the definitive way, the only one. And so one of the problems in our world today is that people have an issue with how exclusive Christianity is. When Jesus makes this claim, I am the way, and nobody gets to the Father unless they come through me. Well, for those of us on the inside of the sheepfold, we're excited about that because Jesus is the way. We found the way and we know that he's welcomed us in. But for people on the outside, they kind of grit their teeth a little bit at that. It's like, well, there's got to be other ways. And, it can't just be that. And yet Jesus is really clear. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, which is, like I said, great news for us. So continuing in John's writings, if we move over to Revelation chapter 1. This is quite an amazing thing. John was exiled for his work in amongst the churches following Jesus, and they had him exiled to an island in Patmos. And while he was there, this is the revelation that he received, and this was so powerful for him, this revelation, that later he went back, when he got back to Jerusalem, that's when he wrote the Gospel of John, I think. It was in this order. So Revelation first, and then the Gospel he wrote afterwards as a result of that. So Revelation 1 and verse 18. He says, when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as good as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, and I heard his reassuring voice saying, don't yield to fear. I am the beginning and I am the end, the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. So John, in this vision, and I picture it this way, kind of. John was in worship on the Lord's day, exiled on this island of Patmos, but at the same time, he was exiled because of his Christian testimony, because of the work amongst the churches. And so it would have been really easy to just get discouraged and thinking, have I done all this for nothing? Like, here I am on this island. I can't really be about the work that I really want to be doing. He was getting to be an older man now. And so I think one of the things that God did in his mercy and his love for John was to show him these things, to give him courage, to build him back up again and make him realize, I have work to be done. And this is true. This is the thing. And so hearing the Lord say, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. That would have been so exciting to hear this. It's like, okay, it really is true. Everything I've believed, everything I've given my life for truly is this. And so now he holds keys. So in number four, the blank, the opening has keys, which are a symbol of authority. He has keys. And we know that when Jesus, after Jesus died, he went into hell, took back the keys, and now he is the one who liberates. He is the opening, and he has the authority to be the opener, and he is the opening itself. And so here we are, beneficiaries of this revelation that John was given, so that on this resurrection morning, we are reassured one more time that God truly does intend to continue this work and to keep the door open, as we'll see in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. So in Revelation chapter 3, 7 and 8, this is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia, for these are the solemn words of the Holy One, the true one who has David's key, who opens doors that none can shut, and who closes doors that none can open. And this is the message. I know all that you've done. Now I have set before you a wide open door that none can shut. For I know that you possess only a little power, yet you've kept my word and haven't denied my name. So here's this letter that is being directed to the church at Philadelphia. And he affirms to them, I hold a door wide open, a door that none can shut. So here is the glorious truth for us on this resurrection morning. What Jesus opened up for us, opened the way. You know, and all the things that happened when Jesus died, as I mentioned yesterday in my note, the earthquake, the graves opening up and people coming out and walking around. But probably the most spectacular thing was that veil in the temple. This gigantic, super thick tapestry, maybe 45, some people say 60 feet tall. And it was torn from the top down. If you've ever torn fabric, just even a piece of cotton, you know, there's a noise. You hear that noise. But can you imagine what it must have sounded like to rip something several inches thick? The sound must have been incredible. And so this is what God has done. All these things opening up, but more importantly, the spiritual definition of this is that all of a sudden now, the Holy of Holies, where God dwells, is now open to us. This glorious opening because of resurrection. And it's a door that is held wide open. And it's also a door that none can shut. So in spite of everything that the world is going through, all the storm and the fury and all these things, what God has done, none, absolutely none, can undo. This work is the finished work of Jesus on the cross for us. And so the blank here is the opening, held wide opening. And it's the opening that is held wide opening, open, and Jesus is that opening. And so not only is the tomb opened, not that Jesus needed the tomb open to rise again, obviously, but it is open. There is this door that is being held wide open for us. And as I think of that on this day, on this Resurrection Sunday in 2022, I think of all the times that even on my own journey with the Lord, which is over 50 years now, how many times have I pictured that the door was closed, that there was no access for me, that I didn't really have access, that nobody really cared? The poor me. Why is this not working out? Why did that not happen? Why am I not a millionaire? On and on, all these things. And yet, when I read this, here's this door that is held wide open. And what was the price to open the door? Jesus' death on the cross. This was not a little thing. This was enormous on the part of the Father to send his Son, but for Jesus to be obedient all the way to the cross, when obviously he could have called for 10,000 angels, as one of the songs say, legions of angels to come and rescue him and take him out of there. But he chose not to because of love. And one of the songs that was on the worship set says, emptied of all but love. And so here is this divine love that comes to us, proves his love by opening once and for all, for all time, our way into relationship with the Father, into the kingdom of his Son. So it's an amazing thing. This is the grandest of all grand openings ever. And it is, I'm always struck by what an absolute flip over the resurrection was. Nobody anticipated this. Satan certainly didn't. The disciples certainly didn't. The Jewish leaders certainly didn't. Rome certainly didn't. And here is this, the resurrection is one part of it, this the miraculous part of it. But what is most amazing is that 2,000 years later, that door is still open and our access is still there. What we celebrate this morning, the risen sun this morning over the York River that we saw. But more than that, Jesus himself holds the door wide open. So you just picture this wide open arms, like on the cross, but now he holds them open in sign of welcome. We are welcome. Have you ever been welcomed with open arms? Haven't seen someone for a while and they're so excited, they open the door and they're standing there with them so they can't wait to give you a hug, and it's that picture we have of Jesus, this opening that he has opened up for us, this amazing way. And it's not only the way, but the way is Jesus. I mean, God just layers things over and over again. It's like he is that and he holds it open. And so we celebrate an opening, an open tomb, the open heart of God welcoming us. And as we've been reminded in our prayer journey, just how much God probably enjoyed whatever part of the prayer journey we were able to do. He enjoyed it more than we did because we were focused on him. We were listening. We were paying attention. We were hearing him. We were receiving from him. I love it every time when there was this passage and it would be like, read this passage and look for signs of God's love. And when you find it, stay there, hold that, and see what it could mean for you. And so over and over again, at first I thought, oh, well, yeah, I've heard this before. And it's like, no, it's something new every time. And if I've only received 0.01% of God's love, I think I'm going to do this prayer journey again, just because maybe I'll get 0.015 or something. And so it's always amazing what we can really do. So we have hope this morning because the door is not only open, but held open for all time, for all people. And so we pray for enemies because the door is held open for them too, waiting for them. And we, by loving our enemies and praying for those people, we also are part of an invitation to this open door to come. And, I think of, almost you would think it would almost be like leaving a porch light on at night. And, who's attracted to the porch light? Every moth within 20 miles, they're just attracted to the light, and that's what we want to do. As we make Jesus famous, we want to We want to be attracting people to his light. We don't want people hearing of his light and going, no thanks. We want to be attractive like that porch light so that people can come to him and recognize that there is a way that is open for them. And there is a life that is so full, it is overflowing. And so that's what I think Easter is. That's what I think the resurrection means for us, for all time. And so I'd like to pray for us, and then let's do some sharing of maybe some of the ways that God has spoken to us, maybe through the prayer journey or through our own journey. How has he spoken his love to us in these days and maybe over the past year? So let's pray together. Lord God, this morning as we consider that you came to open, to be the opener, to guard that opening, to hold keys so that no one could ever lock us out. That this opening is not just for us, but once we've discovered it, we are not the end of the line. There are those behind us that we want to welcome as well. So we celebrate this glorious, shockingly beautiful ending to Jesus' earthly ministry, this resurrection, taking everyone by surprise, taking us by surprise, that you would choose us and that you would, with wide open arms, welcome us, adopt us, call us your children, sons and daughters of God. What a glorious truth. So we celebrate our freedom. We celebrate the abundance that is all because of you. Thank you for these writers, especially for the Apostle John and for his faithfulness to record these things for us, to remind us, to show us all that is ours in you. And we bless you, Father, on this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So what things come to mind as we've been sharing of God's love? And what opening up in our spirit has the Easter messages over the years brought to us?
He's always there.
Yes.
He's always there.
Beautiful. So simple, isn't it? He's always there.
Mm-hmm. That even in pain, there is great beauty.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
One thing just struck me more clearly or something today that I guess I'd sort of known, and I'm sure everybody else here has known for some time, but, you know, we always say the truth will set you free. And the biggest newspaper in Indianapolis, Indiana, used to have that right across the top of their front page every day. The truth will set you free. But as you just read, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, of course, that's just another way of saying Christ will set you free. Christ is the truth.
Right.
Praise him.
Yeah. So maybe without knowing it, they were announcing the good news. Yeah.
Something that struck me when you were just talking about the empty tomb was if the stone was rolled away, but of course Jesus didn't need I forget exactly how he put it. He didn't need the stone to be rolled away because he was resurrected. And so I was just thinking, well why was the stone rolled away then? Because it was unnecessary in practical terms. So I guess the significance is that his followers were able to verify. Mm. And then there's no hint of has he risen? Is he still there? But the grave clothes were there. And just on the grave clothes, I was looking this up a couple of weeks ago. Apparently on the Day of Atonement, the Jewish people used to wear a white shawl, which was, I think, a shittel. I think that's how you say it, which is a reminder both of how they were guilty and how they were, if you like, judged by God, but at the same time pardoned and forgiven. And so it was the Day of Atonement was a very special day. And I think, am I right in saying that Easter happened on the Day of Atonement? I mean, this is the incredible kind of timetable of God. So anyway, that's just a jumble of thoughts I was having.
Yeah.
Thoughts are good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
And of course, the shittel was white. And in Leviticus, it says your sins, which are as red as blood, will be as white as snow.
Yes.
I think there's that verse. Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. Woo!
Exactly.
It's so amazing too, because in paint and whatever, you know, red is one of the hardest colors to cover up. You can color over with couple different coats of paint, but if there's red on the wall or whatever, it will eventually bleed through somehow. So you have to cover it up with a very special kind of paint. So yeah, so we used to say our sins were as scarlet, they've been made as white as snow. So,
that's right. Yes.
Yeah. In one of the versions, at least.
But, yes.
Yeah.
I was I was thinking how just what Don was talking about, and then something I heard from at our sunrise service, that God still works. God works in the darkness, in secret.
Yeah.
And there's things that he does that we just do not see. And sometimes we have to wait a long, long time, but he's working when in our mind, everything is dark and everything is, but he's working in that place and then illuminates and then reveals, and which speaks to the opening too. And then I was thinking today, you know, when these relationships that God has called us to a relationship, and Brian will often say faith is a relationship. And when we got to the sunrise service today, we have not seen those people for 2 years. And when we saw them, you know, it's kind of like when I saw Carol for the first time in 2 years, whatever it was, when she came down to Virginia, it was like, Carol, I'm so excited. But even today at the sunrise service, we have not seen these people from these various churches for 2 years. And it was like no time had passed. And we went up and gave hugs. And it was just, God had knit us in relationship well before COVID.
Yes.
And it was just stunning. And then I have to tell you this, this is so cool. There is this lady, her name, and she goes to a church that is a part of the York County Ministers. And we pray for that church. And she's 89.
Oh, my.
And she does not miss one single sunrise service. Today, she missed it.
Oh.
And her alarm clock went off or it didn't go off. And at the end, you know, a lot of people are leaving. And here is this lady, and she's walking up the sidewalk. And we're looking at her, and Don says, she came. And it was like, old home week, and that was just, it just was so neat. But she was so disappointed that she missed the service, but we stayed and wanted to, of course, to talk with her. And she's crazy. I mean, she's this world traveler. She's just kind of a wild Christian. You know, she's just super. She's very bold. She's there. Anyway, we spent a long time, you know, talking with her, and other people came in and talked, and we took pictures. And she, at the end, she said, I was so upset not to miss. I was so upset to miss the service, but because we had this conversation and this reconnection, I'm good. I'm okay. And it was just like that. It was just so neat. So anyway, I was just thinking about this relationship, and it's almost like, I don't know if this is correct, but it's like God holds the opening of the relationships open too. And so that's kind of an opening and a door that doesn't shut. Yes. Right.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. And on that note, I had the great opportunity on another Zoom call to talk with a friend I haven't seen in 32 years, and he's currently living in Taiwan. So we had a chance to Zoom together, even though we're on the opposite sides of the world. And, you know, just that relationship from university days was still there. It was like we hadn't missed a beat, only it was a 32-year gap. But anyway, it was like there was no gap there. So we're really excited to reconnect. That was great. So, yeah, those doors stay open, hearts stay open, hearts still long to see. And so may our longing for God's love and God to have that opening stay fresh with us as well.
Mm.
Any other things that come to mind? Angela?
Something that Sue said, that God works in the dark, gives us hope.
Yes.
And just my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
just thinking of all the, of course, we always think of babies and on their 9-month journey, not seen. And then, you know, for us, we have a whole lot of woods behind our house in the wintertime. They're all bare. But in the springtime, you know, the buds come and whatever, and the tiny little shoots come out, and then they gradually fill in. But you don't see it happening. It's like, they only do this at night. They open up and in the morning. They're just like, wow, where did you all come from? And so our trees are getting dressed, and pretty soon we'll have a fully filled in forest behind us. And so this is great. So this is amazing. God is good. So maybe Horace, can you come up, stop the recording, and why don't you pray for us?
Hi, everyone.
Have a great weekend.